Thank you so much. From our New York City studios in Midtown Manhattan, welcome to the program. I want to tell you a little bit about our cruise through history before we get started. We put together a cruise. I was just looking at some photos that are rather disappointing about what a Disney cruise is really like. You know, you've seen the pictures and then you get to a Disney cruise. I just want you to know the cruise through history is going to be everything that you expect it to be. And I think much, much more. We have added different shows to it that you can attend at any time. I think we're doing 5 different shows on the ship. That's Bill O'Reilly is going to be joining us in Israel. We're going to be doing a show in Israel together. Rabbi Lapin's going to be doing a show. I'm doing, I think, 3 to 5 different shows. David Barton is doing it. And we're just going to bring history to life in Venice and in Athens and in Israel. All you have to do is go to comesailaway.com. That's comesailaway.com. Get your tickets and join us next spring.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
Last week, Vladimir Putin abruptly canceled an appearance in Russia to attend an emergency meeting with his defense minister. Now, this usually would not get an awful lot of attention, but it also coincided with a flurry of other reporting. Vice President Pence recalled back to the White House at the same time. Meanwhile, in the Middle East, F-22 Raptors arrived in the Gulf. Same time. And adding to the building hysteria, several blue check marks on Twitter started reporting that the EU Security Council had, like the Russians, called an emergency meeting. What was this all about? All we know is something happened that would cause a catastrophe of a planetary scale. Well, that was what was reported. Let me tell you what really happened in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So I don't know if you've been following what's been going on with Google and Facebook and everything else just in the last couple of days, but things are heating up and they are not responding to cries of, hey, can you not spy on me? Can you keep my stuff private? They are silencing voices. They're changing algorithms. I think they are going to mess with the 2020 election. We already know this from a researcher at Harvard. But this researcher at Harvard, he's so conservative, he voted for Hillary Clinton. Okay? He's the guy who is doing the research on this, and he is ringing the bell saying, I'm telling you, we are about to enter the matrix if we don't get a handle on this soon. You're not going to know where you end, your thoughts end, and Amazon, Google, Facebook's thoughts begin. You're just not going to be able to tell, did I really want that? Or was I kind of sold that? And the reason why this is going to happen is because you are being shaped and they are open about it. They are shaping opinions, and they're shaping opinions many times just to make a sale for somebody who is trying to sell something to you. You need to stop giving your information out. You need a secure VPN, and a VPN is a virtual private network. This is a way that no one can track you. No bad guys can get your stuff. Google is not tracking you. Facebook's not tracking you. Amazon's not tracking you. So you're not giving them the information so you can remain independent and truly free. Norton Secure VPN. Get one ASAP. Enjoy the convenience of the connected world without the worries of online privacy or security. It's norton.com/VPN. Norton.com/VPN. Prices start at about $3.33 a month with annual subscription. It is well worth it. Sign up now. Norton.com/VPN. So let me tell you now, last week, Vladimir Putin abruptly canceled an appearance in Russia to attend an emergency meeting with his defense minister. Now, they said at the same time, Vice President Pence was recalled back to the White House. And the F-22 Raptors arrived to the Gulf at the same time. And then the EU Security Council, like the Russians, called an emergency meeting. Okay, so let me just give you some, let me give you a fact check just on that. No, Pence was recalled to the White House for an undisclosed non-national security related issue. The F-22s had been ordered to the Middle East a long time ago. And the surprise EU Security Council meeting? Well, some of the blue check marks on Twitter should probably do a little homework, because the EU doesn't have a Security Council, so there couldn't be an emergency meeting. Now, there is something that did happen. The real thing that was going on was the emergency meeting with the Russian president. It was called for Putin and his defense minister. But without all these events going on, this single event might not have gotten attention that it ended up receiving. And that would have been a bad thing, quite honestly. I can guarantee you that Putin is pissed that all of those things happened and people were tweeting about it. Because globally, attention was turned on a government-run secret military project. That's exactly what we stumbled across last week. And it's important that you understand what happened. This is what we know so far. A Russian nuclear submarine caught fire while operating in the Barents Sea. Now, that's a coast off of northern Russia. The nearest countries are Finland and Switzerland. 14 Russian sailors died trying to extinguish that fire that was reportedly localized in the battery compartment. The sailors were credited by the Russians for preventing, quote, a catastrophe of planetary scale. Now, how is that possible? Well, the first thing we all think of is the word nuclear, submarine, fire. It's another Chernobyl, right? But if you were listening to yesterday's program, you know that most of what HBO showed was hysteria. All right. This is misinformation. This is disinformation. A global catastrophe like Chernobyl is not possible. Now, this is going to sound unsettling, but it's actually not. There are currently 9 nuclear submarines sunk at the bottom of the ocean. There's one right now just off the east coast of Cape Cod. It's been there since 1963. In all, there are 2 U.S. and 7 Soviet or Russian nuclear subs sitting at the ocean floor. So what happens to the reactors? How come the reactors haven't, you know, had the China syndrome? Well, it's the ocean waters, and they're providing a source of infinite cooling, so they'll never explode. So no, the Russian sailors, although very brave and heroic for, you know, perishing to save their ship, did not save the world from a planetary scale disaster. This, again, is disinformation. It's misdirection. Look over here, look over here. If attention is being diverted intentionally, what's the real story? Attention is being moved through misdirection to get you off of the trail of the Russian submarine. Now, this submarine is very special. It's much smaller than the typical submarine. With its nuclear reactor, it can stay submerged for very long periods of time. It is considered one of the quietest submarines in the Russian fleet, and it was built to go much deeper than any other underwater submersible, with 2 separate ship hulls. So in other words, imagine almost like a catamaran. It's got 2 hulls of 2 ships, 2 submarines linked together. Now, why would the Russians want a small nuclear power submarine that can skirt the ocean floor for long periods of time? And why is this project so secret? Well, I think most everybody except this audience is going to be really surprised when the next great war between major powers breaks out. I have talked to you for a long time about being prepared. Being prepared, save food, store water, gas, secure some sort of power source. Get off the grid. Why? Because World War III, or the next major war, is going to be unlike anything we've ever fought before. It is cyber warfare. Remember, World War I was unlike any war the world had ever fought before. It was the introduction of tanks. There were, at the end of World War I, there were almost no horses left anywhere in Europe because everybody grabbed their horse and they went to war. Well, a horse isn't going to stand up against a tank. And so most of the horses were slaughtered in Europe. Also, the introduction of chemical warfare and gas warfare that had never been seen before. And it shocked the world. This time, cyber warfare is going to shock the world. And it's going to shock the world because everything is going to change. If you would look at a map of the ocean floor today, it would almost look like a giant circuit board. Underwater communication cables stretch out from New York all the way to Europe, from the West Coast to Asia, and literally everywhere in between. It's how we are so interconnected. It's how you can Skype with someone in Africa or visit a website in Poland. And the underwater circuit board, if you will, began a long, long time ago in 1854 with the installation of the first transatlantic telegraph cable. These communication lines have been laid for decades, and they have been targets for decades. They've been target for spies ever since. Think about it with just the telegraph cable. If you're Germans and you wanted to hear what America and England were talking about in World War I, all you have to do is just tap into the telegraph table, right? Well, that's what this is. During the Cold War, a U.S. submarine, the USS Halibut, successfully located and tapped a Soviet line during Operation Ivy Bells. That is the foreshadowing of what is coming now. Our internet, our interconnected world depends on the flow of ones and zeros. And they are currently racing at the speed of light under our oceans. This Russian submarine was built to take advantage of that. They can locate and attach themselves to these deep cables. They can siphon off all of the information. They can insert malware to attack anything from the electrical grid to the water supply stations to the Defense Department. And when the information has all been stolen and the weapons have all been unleashed, they can sever the cables and leave us in the dark. This is modern-day warfare, deep under the sea, which is as unknown to most people as the dark side of the moon. This will be a first-strike weapon. And I don't think we're anywhere close to understanding it as people. I hope our Pentagon is on it. I'm sure they are. But remember, Vladimir Putin said, we're already in World War III. The West just doesn't understand it yet. All right, X Chair is a great, great chair. I don't have one in our studios in New York. We gotta get them all in our studios. Don't have one in the studios of New York. And this is, I keep adjusting this chair or trying to adjust this chair. And I'm like, oh, this is just a crappy office chair. The X chair is one of the most comfortable chairs that I've ever sat in. And it's a great office chair, but not only is it a great office chair, It's like a recliner. It really is. It is as comfortable as a Lazy Boy. You can get the footrest and the headrest with it if you want. I mean, it's really an amazing chair with 10 different ways to adjust it. And X-Chair now has a 30-day money-back guarantee, no questions asked, complete satisfaction, no risk. Now, most companies can't do this because people sending back, you know, the chair would bankrupt them. Nobody sends these chairs back because they are fantastic. Once you feel the X-Chair's patented dynamic variable lumbar support, or DVL, you'll understand what I'm talking about. It is unbelievable. X-Chair. They also have new financing options to increase your productivity with the right model for you. The X Basic or X1 through X4. X-Chair can fit your body and your budget. It's on sale now for $100 off if you go to xchairbeck.com. That's xchairbeck.com. Or you can call 1-844-4-X-CHAIR. Also, if you use the promo code XWHEELS, you're going to get a free set of the new X-Wheels with your chair. That's xchairbeck.com. 10 seconds. Station ID. Oh, welcome to the program. Is Pat in the chair there in Dallas?
He is. Yeah, I just saw him.
Hello, Pat.
Saw him a minute ago. Good. You? Not doing good, as well today. Good. Without the X chair, apparently. The back acting
Thank
up a little bit.
Sitting in mine. I see.
Yeah, not a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Happy to do it.
Yeah. Shut up. Shut up. You know, I was having dinner with some people the other night, and we were talking about, you know, the world and politics and what we think are going to, you know, the future holds. And everybody asked me, so are Texans awake yet on how much money is being poured into Texas to make that a blue state? And I said, no, I don't think they are. Jeez. I think Texans are just like the rest of America was in 2007 and 8, oblivious. And they're just like, oh, no, that'll never happen. Yeah, we can never have those things happen. I don't think they understand how close Texas really is to being a blue state. It's very purple right now.
Do you think so? Because I'm not sure about that. I keep hearing, Texas is
really?
Blue. Texas is turning blue. It's a battleground state. If you look back at the Beto and Cruz election, you know, the left plays the game really well, where they just keep repeating the same lie until a pretty decent segment of Americans believe them. But just because they say it over and over and over and over again doesn't make it true. I could say monkeys are flying out my butt every day. That doesn't make it true. It's just...
But it is true. That's a bad example.
That is a bad example.
So wait a minute. Why
if you go back
say
to the
re-election, true?
Go back to the election with Ted and Beto. Ted was re-elected essentially by 51-48, so about 3 points. And the media said, oh, wow, just a 3-point victory in Texas? Well, Texas is in play, we keep trying to tell you. But let's not forget what was going on at the time. For whatever reason, Beto was the darling of and the rock star of the Democrat Party. He'd raised over $80 million, an all-time record for a Senate campaign. The vast majority of that came from out of state. The day after the election, he had about $1.98 left in his account. I mean, he spent every penny pretty much. And he outspent Ted at least 2-1, maybe 3-1, and lost.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he had all the momentum, he had an adoring media on his side, locally and nationally, every step of the way. And you add to that the fact that Ted had some... You'd forget sometimes. He had some serious issues at the time. Namely, he had just pissed off all of the Trump supporters because of the rough campaign they had against each other, including the fact that Ted refused to endorse Trump at the GOP convention. Okay, they were really angry about that. So then, what was it? A week and a half later, he turned around and did a 180, which didn't really please the Trump fans because it wasn't at the convention. And now suddenly he just angered his entire base of conservatives. So the Democrats hated his guts from the beginning. And just to tie the other hand behind his back, too, before the election. He alienated everybody who would potentially be on his side in a normal election. But even with all of that, I mean, he had every reason to lose, I think. He had nearly everybody turned on him, and he still won the election. So I'm not sure I believe the Texas is turning blue thing.
So I do, and I do because I've talked to many of the Republican players who, you know, for instance, the governor, who is really paying attention to this, and the money that is being spent in Texas to turn us blue.
Yeah, I do know
and
that.
And it's not only the only the money that's happening. You know, we've had a, what is it, a 48% increase in illegals in Texas over the last couple of years. I mean, it's
easily
incredible what's happening to our state. And as always, the progressives take the cities. They have Austin. They have Dallas now. They have Houston. And, you know,
well,
as
they've had the major metropolitan
grow and grow and grow.
They've had the metropolitan areas for quite a while, though. You know, it's always been the suburbs.
Yes, I know. Correct. But you're taking an influx of mass amounts of illegals and mass amounts of Californians are coming in. We're getting 1,000 people a week from California moving into Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not counting. That's just the population growth. That's not counting the people who are being affected by the money. I just don't think that Texans are aware of the efforts. And I think people are lulled into this false sense of security of saying Texas will always be. It'll always be red. It'll always be red. I don't think it will be if we don't pay attention to it.
I mean, that part is true because like the Constitution, it doesn't just protect itself. You know, and Texas
right.
doesn't just protect itself. We have to do the work, both with the Constitution and with Texas. So you're right. We do have to be aware of the efforts because they would like nothing. I mean, if they do win Texas, then it's over, right? You will never win another national election.
No, no. You flip Texas.
That's
you
bad.
You flip the country.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the it is truly the line in the sand. And it's interesting because Texas is where that phrase came from. Davy Crockett drawing a line in the sand in at the Alamo. Texas is the line in the sand for the Republic. If you lose Texas, you lose the Republic.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Progress is a wonderful thing. 10 years ago, we couldn't have imagined how Amazon would make shopping so much more convenient. But as we often see, with progress comes an opportunity for criminals to take advantage of us. The porch pirate thefts are now to the point where in Texas, you could be sent to jail for 10 years. Now, what is a porch pirate? A porch pirate is somebody who comes up onto your porch when they see a package and just steals it. The people that I recommend for cybersecurity is SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe is every inch of your home is blanketed with an army of sensors. A video doorbell watches over your porch. Now, when you think of you know, these video doorbells, you think, oh, I'll just go get a video doorbell. No, no, no. This one is secure online and part of this entire system for your home, your whole house. Every sensor covers every door and every window. You get a free HD camera right now. If you just go to SimpliSafeBeck.com. Protect your home. SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Want to hear more conservative voices? Go to BlazeTV.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn, G-L-E-N-N, and get $10 off.
Man, I'm really excited to welcome a brand new sponsor to the show, Tecovas. I know how ridiculous a great pair of boots can cost. Tecovas makes great boots and accessories. They sell their boots directly to the customer, so their boots are half the price of anything that's even similar in quality. They're all handmade with a 200-step process with only the best materials. Their entire line honors the timeless traditional boot styles. No silly stitching or sequins or loud colors or anything else. These are just great boots like my grandfather would have worn. With Tecovas, there's no need to break them in. They arrive already ready to be worn immediately, comfortably. They're easy to order with tremendous customer service. Tecovas always has free shipping and free returns. Check out their boots and their clothing and accessories right now. Tecovas.com/Beck. That's TECOVAS.com/Beck. From Midtown Manhattan, thank you for listening to the Glenn Beck program. I'm up here this week. My daughter is performing with the Millennial Choir and Orchestra at Carnegie Hall on Friday, and I'm so excited to be sitting in the audience watching my daughter on the stage of Carnegie Hall. This is an amazing choir, and we're so excited to be here. They're doing two nights, Friday and Saturday at Carnegie Hall. And so we're up here, and I'm also taking my daughters and my granddaughter each night. I'm going out because I started this stupid tradition when they were like six of taking them out to a Broadway show. And every year we would go, and they wanted dad to wear a tux so they could wear a fancy dress. And so we're still doing that. And they're now in their 30s. Hannah is, I think, 26 and maybe 27. And and we last night we went, and you know, look at me. I look like an old man. I've got solid white hair. I look like Colonel Sanders, for the love of Pete. So I'm standing there in a tux, which the only people there in a tux, and she's in this really fancy, sparkly outfit that she had. And she doesn't necessarily, thank God for her, look like me. And so we were laughing, Tanya and I were laughing about how everybody's going to think that this creepy old man, I mean, it was like Jeffrey Epstein. I was like, hey, yeah, I'm on the Lolita flight a little later. And this couples, they all were looking at me. All these older people were looking at me with disgust. And I'm like, is that because you know who I am, or because you don't know who I am and you think I'm on date with this pretty young, 20 something? Or is it that you know who I am and you think I'm on a date with a 20-something? So I'm standing there, and finally this lady gets some courage, and her husband is just giving me the devil look the whole time. And he walks away in disgust, and my daughter happens to move away. And this woman comes up to me, and she said, so what's the special occasion? We've been wondering, because you're all dressed up with that pretty young woman on your arm. And I said, now I'm thinking to myself, it would be really funny if I said, yeah, I just like them young, you know, I'm on that Lolita plane. Jeffrey Epstein, he introduced us a little while ago. But I decided to say, no, I'm on a father-daughter date, and that's my daughter. And you could see the woman when I said that, you could see the woman, she just changed. She was like, oh, thank God. Because we thought you were really creepy. And she's like, oh, that is so wonderful. Oh, that's the sweetest thing. And she totally changes. And then I looked at her and I said, you know, but, I mean, I did buy dinner, and so it's a good thing she puts out. No, I didn't say that, but I really wanted to say that, but I didn't. I behaved myself.
Do you think she knew who you were? And was disgusted.
No idea.
Or did just so you
I
never
have
found
absolutely
out.
No idea. She was like, I don't know, because she was, she said, she was testing my cultural expertise, and I made her sick. I just know I made her sick. She said, so what other shows have you seen this season? I'm like, oh, shut up, you pretentious. And I said, well, I just went to Frozen. Which I knew drove her out of her mind. She was like, oh. And I said, and they're going to see Wicked tomorrow. She was like, oh, my gosh. I would have rather thought of you having sex with that young girl than this. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about politics here. Joe Biden quickly losing black voters' support. However, he is picking up steam. He's back to 15-point lead in some of the polls. He's back up to 30%, which is fascinating to me.
In a field of 25 people? Yeah, it's amazing.
It's
amazing.
Well, I mean, if you look at the field, there's really only a field of four people. It's Biden. Mm-hmm. It's Harris. It's
Sanders, Warren.
Sanders and Warren. That's mm-hmm. it. Everybody else is like at 1%. And I love this because any other candidate is now currently at 3%. So half, more than half of the field is being beaten by anybody but you.
and no name attached at all. Right. It's just someone else.
No name. It's just someone else, mm-hmm. which to me shows the lack of diversity in this and the lack of credibility of any of these. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think you would have gotten anyone else. I never saw a poll that asked that. Maybe they did and they never printed it. But I don't think you would have gotten that with the Republican field. We had a huge Republican field, and everybody I know was happy with the selection. Everybody was like, this is the best selection we've had. You know, usually we get Jeb Bush and, you know, Neil Bush and George Bush. We're like, okay, do we have a deeper field than this?
Could you at least put Tito Marlin and Jermaine Bush in there too?
And I would like that. I mean, and so I don't think you would have gotten that with the Republicans, but you have it now. And there is a huge battle going on for the heart of the Democratic Party. I don't know if you saw what the BET founder said. Did you see this?
I didn't.
Okay, the BET founder. Okay, that's the Black Entertainment Television founder. And we know how they were under Barack Obama. They loved it. They loved everything that was going on. This is the founder, and I want to quote, if I can, what he said. Now, listen to the way he couches this. The party, in my opinion, for me personally. Okay, we got it. We got it. You're just saying it's me. It's just me. It's me. It's me. It's not you. The party, in my opinion, for me personally, has moved too far to the left.
Wow.
And for that reason, I don't have a particular candidate that I'm supporting in the party at this time. I think at the end of the day, if a Democrat is going to beat Trump, then that person, he or she, is going to have to move to the center, and you can't wait too long to do that. That's incredible. He goes on to say,
wow.
I think the economy is doing great. I think the economy is doing great, and it's reaching populations that heretofore had very bad problems in terms of jobs and employments and the opportunities that come with employment. So African-American unemployment is now at its lowest level. This is the head of BET. He goes on. I give the president a lot of credit for moving the economy in a positive direction that is benefiting a large amount of Americans. I think the tax cuts clearly helped stimulate the economy. I think business people have more confidence in the way the economy is going. End quote.
That's astounding.
Did we slip through a worm? Did we slip through a wormhole last night?
Wow.
That is incredible. Absolutely incredible.
That sounds like he intends to vote for Trump, doesn't it? If you just heard that quote, would think that's a Trump supporter.
Trump supporter. That's remarkable.
Wow. Yeah.
Then you have people, and see, they really don't understand this. AOC is nothing but a Twitter farm. Now, she has her little lambs and her little sheep that follow her beyond Twitter and in places like New York City. But America is, believe me, I'm here. America is not New York City. It's just not. And they are playing to this very small number in these cities like New York, and it's just not cool in other parts. I don't even think it's cool in Chicago and places like Chicago. They are just too far left, and they think that they can get away with anything. Let me give you this from Ilhan Omar. She told a group of high school students in a story which she claims she witnessed. She said it's a story of America's injustice and racism, but the Washington Post decided to look into it. Let me say that again. The Washington Post, not The Examiner, The Post, discovered that this story isn't true. The Washington Post reports that Omar was speaking to an audience of 400 high school students when she told a visiting Minneapolis in a courtroom where she witnessed a sweet old African-American lady who had spent the weekend in jail for stealing a $2 loaf of bread for just to feed her starving 5-year-old granddaughter. I believe this is the plot of Les Miserables. I don't think. Did she get an extra 17 years for trying to escape? Did she get her yellow ticket of leave? This is Les Miserables. She said the woman was fined $80 for that crime. And she said, I could not control my emotions. I stood up in the courtroom and I said, boo crap. Except she didn't use the word crap. Now, it's not true because city officials have told the Washington Post that police are not allowed to arrest people for shoplifting. Think of this. This is a whole nother problem. They're not allowed to arrest people for shoplifting unless there's a likelihood of violence or further crime. Typically, shoplifters are sentenced to attend a 3-hour class. So when the reporters from the Washington Post went to Omar and said, hey, this isn't true. She said, well, I may have flubbed a few facts, like maybe any of it actually happening.
Wow.
She said, I might have flubbed a few facts. The woman convicted of the crime might have had a prior arrest. I'm not sure. The details may not have all matched, but that's what I remember. Oh, is it? Now, this isn't the first time. Recently, she told a group of veterans that about 45% of military families rely on food stamps. She had one number right. It's 5%, not 45%. And last month, in an attempt to bring attention to a gun control bill, she tweeted that 500 people on average are killed every single day by a gun in the United States.
No.
That would mean 182,000 people died from gun deaths in the United States every year. 182,000.
Wow.
The number's a little smaller than that. It's 39,000. And most of those, 60% of those, were suicides.
Suicides.
So, and I think they're just overplaying their hand. Yeah. I think they are. I think they've become.
So.
Oh. I just think they are just becoming so toxic. You know, a couple of the guys went to the gym here in New York, and they were at the gym. And this woman who was like running the gym, or she was doing a class or something, she was working out with these women right next to the guys. And she loudly said for them to hear, it was intentional, oh, I just hate men. Men are worthless. They are so ugly, and I just hate them. What is that? And I think that is being heard throughout the land, things like that, and Americans just don't like it. They're not like that, and they don't want any part of it. I'm convinced of it. All right, Tecovas. Tecovas makes great boots. Now, when I say they're great boots, here's what I mean. In Texas, you can pay literally thousands of dollars. If you go on the website of one of the big bootmakers, you will see a pair of boots that is $12,000. The pair of boots, and I'm sure that there's some magical gold string or something inside of those $12,000 boots. But the same, exact same style, they look the same, and they're handmade, are about $300 or $400. Now, what makes the other boots so just gosh darn special? These boots, from Tecovas are handmade with high-quality, full-grain leathers by world-class bootmakers. No shortcuts. The 200 steps is what they have to go through to build them to be comfortable right out of the box. You don't have to break them in. They're comfortable right out of the box. Here's the best thing. You can wear these boots because they come in all different shapes, sizes, and prices and design. You can wear these boots out to something nice. I can wear them on the ranch as well. I mean, you need a boot that you really like, that you can polish up and look great, but also something that you're not afraid to wear out when you're working. You know, you're a man. Wear a great boot. Oh, did I just say that? Wear a great boot that you can wear out or you can wear while you're working. You can get them at Tecovas. Tecovas. Great boots that feel great and have a great price. Tecovas. Go to Tecovas. Tecovas.com/Beck. That's Tecovas.com/Beck. So AOC has claimed that Kellyanne Conway is sexist toward her. And you know, you might ask, wait, so she's sexist against women? To which AOC claimed patriarchy has no gender. Which,
because it does
would then make it
seem like, well, it could be the
could
matriarchy,
be matriarchy
then too.
Then?
And I guess the answer to that is no.
No. So patriarchy has no gender.
Does matriarchy now you have a gender? Or do we know?
Of course it does.
Of course it okay.
Of course
it does. Stupid, I'm
it's
sorry.
Loving.
It was stupid.
You're so stupid. It revolves around women. So
it's perfect and wonderful.
Patriarchy.
Yes.
Okay. It's perfect and wonderful, has no flaws. Patriarchy, on the other hand, is riddled with flaws. We'll get into that next hour.
I'm Hillary. That's your 4 minute buzz. And now here's Glenn and Pat with the next hour of the show.
Thank you very much, Hillary. We've got a great next hour coming up in just a few minutes for the radio broadcast. I want to tell you about Brad Thor's new thriller. Brad is a friend of mine. He's 19. I think he's out of 19 thrillers. I think he's got, I don't know, about 12 number ones, and he churns them out every month. And it's kind of like James Bond, where you don't have to read everything to get up to the latest. His latest is Backlash, which is just really great. A Navy SEAL turned covert counterterrorism operative. It's his usual character, but this time the Russians come in and scoop him up off the streets of America, and he has one chance to escape, and he takes it. There's a reason Brad Thor is known as the master of thrillers. You can find at Amazon or at bradthor.com /Backlash.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
So Kellyanne Conway said yesterday that that AOC said that Kellyanne Conway was sexist and coming after her. She's part of the patriarchy. And someone responded, wait a minute, Kellyanne is sexist against women. That makes sense. And AOC responded, patriarchy has no gender. Isn't it patriarchy that's the man, right? Isn't this the whole patriarchy has no gender? If you feel like you can't make heads or tails out of what the hell people are talking about, there's a reason for that. But I have an actual flesh and bone decoder ring sitting next to me. We're going to talk to him next.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I want to tell you about our sponsor for 60 seconds, then right back into the program, Relief Factor. If you are suffering from pain, the biggest part of our pain comes from inflammation. I'm a guy who had just significant pain for the last almost 10 years. And I can get through my days now. Where most days, I didn't think I could get through. Most days, my wife would have to get up and even button the buttons of my shirt. And my hands were so, they hurt so badly, I just couldn't do anything. Relief factor has helped me out. And I have to be honest with you, I was at the end of my rope before I took it because I'm like, what? Reduce the inflammation and it's all natural. That's not going to work. I need hardcore drugs. But I didn't want to take hardcore drugs because then you're foggy all day. My wife finally said,
well, let's take it, Tom. I'm not going to listen to you complain anymore unless you try everything.
All right. So I took it, and I took it for 3 weeks because that's what's recommended. You take it for 3 weeks. If you don't see an improvement, it's not going to work for you. If you do see any results, keep taking it. Well, I'm still taking it today, about 18 months later. Call 800-583-84, 800-583-84, or just go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. Almost a year ago, I picked up a book called Springtime for Snowflakes, and I read it and I thought, this guy is either a covert op that's making us all think that he is on our side, but he's actually not, or he's the bravest guy I think I've ever met. And he turns out, I mean, this is what he wants me to believe, he turns out to be a guy who is really, truly brave and honest. And his name is Michael Rechtenwald. And he was a professor at NYU who lost his gig at NYU. It had nothing to do with him taking on the system. They made that very clear, did they not, Michael? That
yes.
You started tweeting.
That's right.
And what were some of your tweets?
Well, I mean, I tweeted things like, you know, social justice warriors. There's a bunch of little Stalins running around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just imagine that. And then wake up and realize, yes, you're in that world. You have a bunch of Stalins running around. They're just Stalin, just weirder. It's SJW. So I was trying to get at the idea, like, right. We were dealing with a bunch of, authoritarians all over the
mm-hmm,
place.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. And I talked about some of the craziness going on campuses, for example. You know, the establishment of segregated dormitories, you know, where they were, African-American only dorms, you know, like a reversal of things that were supposedly progressive, you know, or moving forward. The Halloween costume insanity, mm-hmm. where you couldn't dress up as anything, you know, that might be appropriating of some culture. Meanwhile, you have the left dressing up as a new person every day.
Right.
I mean, so they're changing
right.
their identities on the fly.
Right.
But nobody can wear a Halloween costume for
right.
a night.
And you were a guy, you were one of the most popular professors
yeah.
at NYU, which mm-hmm. is not exactly a conservative school.
Mm-mm.
You're not a conservative or weren't a conservative.
Not really, no.
You actually wrote white papers
yeah.
for communists.
For Marxists, yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And you wrote that. You told me you wrote those things because in theory,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
In theory,
yeah.
communism is great.
Yeah.
But in practice, it never works.
Right. I was with like a group that called themselves left or libertarian communists, and everybody on the other side of the middle thinks that's complete oxymoron, of course.
Right.
But they believe that, like, the workers of their own accord, without, like, the vanguardists or as the leaders, like the Bolsheviks, taking charge, that if it all has spontaneously erupted from the bottom up, then it'll be workers will have, like, control of everything, and
mm-hmm.
it's just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's no greed, there's no evil, there's no bad people amongst the workers. They're
right.
all pure.
They're all pure, yeah.
They're all saints. I mean,
right.
so what it is you're born, whatever, you know, rank and class you're born into in the world, according to the left, that basically sanctifies you, in effect. So that, you know, it's just a very weird theology.
Right. And you were part of it.
Absolutely.
And when you realized that people were serious and they were starting to go for actual communism...
You, Yeah. Well, actually, when they were starting to go for people's heads, you know, starting to talk and act and attack people in the way that, like, the Red Guard did in the Cultural Revolution and under Maoism from 66 to 76, and just insanity, where they just routed out everything and they started destroying all the cultural artifacts, the historic, anything that represented historical memory, tradition, convention, it had to be razed to the ground. And I saw the same things happening here, like literature being thrown out of the curriculum. You know, of course, we see statues being defaced, all kinds of historical memory being erased. It's to me, it started to seem like the same.
What was Mao's purpose for doing that?
Well, he was very self-motivated. First of all, he was trying to eliminate any competition that he was having within the party. So if he got all these Red Guard, and they were all students, very, very, you know, gullible and enthusiastic and crazy. And he got them like, hey, guess what? You can go in and basically overthrow the classroom. How would you like to go in and kick your teacher out? Or how would you like to put them on trial?
That's happening.
Yeah.
That's happening now in America.
And so he actually turned the populace against the state, against the very social order itself, to dissolve it so that he would have absolute supremacy.
Which, who is the Mao of our time? How is this? How is this happening?
There's a lot of mini Maos. I call them mini Maos. It's like sort of like Minnie Mouse.
Yeah.
Because there's no big figures like this that are able to. I mean, you have the North Korean leader, but I mean that doesn't count. We're talking about, like, in our world, there's a few people. I mean, there's a lot of people.
So where's it coming from?
It's coming from these people that are tapping into their moral superiority and their authoritarian impulses. And their moral probity. They think they're absolutely right, and they think they have the truth on their side, and they're on the right side of history. This is the key. If you're on the right side of history, because they think history is going in a direction, happens to be the direction they want it to go in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is called Whiggish history, because that's how the Whigs thought in Great Britain. They thought that, you know, there was a progress narrative of history. And of course, the progress was all going the way that towards their types of policies. And this is the same thing these people hold. They hold this progress narrative. It's all going their way. Basically, anything new is good, including any new genders, anything. But anything not new is cis or X.
Right.
You know, and just like in the Soviet Union, they started calling, you know, during the Great Terror, anybody that was designated as an ex, that is, you're ex-official, ex-this, ex-that from another, from the earlier regime, you were going to the gulag. So I say that cis is kind of like the equivalent of ex. It's a way of marking the antiquated who must go down.
How the obvious question here, Michael, how do these people who say they're fighting against authoritarians, how do they not see that they are exactly what they despise?
It's amazing. If I was a cartoonist, I would draw a picture of an Antifa character who's looking in a mirror, and he sees on his forehead a swastika. Okay, because they are absolutely replicas of they think they're against.
They are the brown shirts or the black shirts.
Yeah, it's very frightening. But what's frightening about it is the unself-consciousness of that. How is the self-delusion so thick that you could actually be the incarnation of what you think you're against?
A lot of people will say that it was people like you work around or may have been on the campuses that are just filling people's heads with gobbledygook.
I can't even tell you. I mean, it's so sad. To me, it's so sad what's happened. I think that, like, for example, what happens to the college curricula, they've turned it into, like, basically it's a moral program based on social justice as the main creed.
Uh-huh.
And they've rid anything that doesn't fit. You know, like, for example, at SOAS in London, it's a university that they threw out all white male philosophers from the philosophy curriculum. Okay,
that's all Western philosophy.
That's everybody.
Yeah, that's
in
everybody.
Fact, there isn't, you know, maybe it leaves Ayn Rand, but I mean, they're not going to teach her.
No.
So there's not much left. And, you know, whatever reason, still, you know, these are people that contributed a great deal to our society and our culture.
You read Plato today and you can learn a lot.
Oh, yeah, a lot. And I mean, however you want to think about it, you know, there is a great connection between Plato's Platonic thinking and Christianity, for example. Mm-hmm. There's a great deal of connection there, whether you think that, you know, Christianity borrowed from it or it was a precursor that sort of set the stage. You know, it works either way, but it definitely is deeply foundational to the way we are.
So how many people, this is the argument I think people are having in themselves, or unfortunately it's keeping them blind because they think that there's not enough people that actually believe in these things. And so they're going to, you know, this is just going to stop at some point. And you do see evidence that people are waking up because they're pushing way too far.
Right.
But how many people do you think on the campuses, if you look at it, you know, through polls, 70-80% are buying into it?
Yeah. What I heard was at NYU, the students would tell me, That the worst places weren't even the classrooms. It was the dormitories where the students were self-patrolling each other in the social justice creed. And they were correcting each other if they, you know, were saying or doing or acting in a wrong way according to the creed. And so there was a lot of, like, censorship going on within the dormitories and stuff like that. And, like, a lot of, you know, like, blackballing students. And it was, it sounded like a horror show. And I was living the worst of it as a professor who's not, you don't get out in 4 years unless they throw you out.
Right.
You know, they only have a short term there. It's not going to last forever. But, you know, I had to live with that. And it's spooky.
All right. More with Michael Rechtenwald. We're going to talk about his new book that is coming out that I think is tremendous, just tremendous, and something that everybody needs to read. But if you're like me, you're going to need to read it two or three times because it's very, very deep, but really important. We'll talk about that coming up in just a second. Our sponsor is X Chair. I wish we had the X Chairs up here in our studios in New York. We have to send them up here. Well, if I'm coming back, but we have to send them up because they are tremendous chairs. They are unlike these cheap chairs that we have sitting here. These chairs are uncomfortable. We spend so much time in our office chairs. You need a really comfortable chair. This one will fit your body and your wallet. The X chair has 10 different adjustments that you can make, and they are truly remarkable. They're as comfortable as a recliner, and they'll keep you upright when you need to be and your posture exactly right. You will feel the difference. Try it out for yourself for 30-day money-back guarantee. Most companies can't do this because people will be like, I'm going to send that back. This would put this company under if everybody started sending the chairs back. Nobody sends them back because they are tremendous. X Chair on sale now for $100 off. Just go to xchairbeck.com. That's xchairbeck.com or call 844-4XCHAIR. xchairbeck.com. Use the promo code XWheels and you're going to get a free set of new X-Wheels with your chair at xchairbeck.com. We pause for 10 seconds. Station ID. So, Michael, I think a lot of people think, where the hell did that come from? Where did that word come from? All of a sudden, you know, the patriarchy is something we're talking about, and we never talked about that before.
Right.
And the patriarchy has no gender. Well, then what is it?
Yeah, they like to keep it nebulous, you know, because then they can move it around and put it on anybody. But the patriarchy was supposedly, you know, of course, domination by the patriarchs, by male, you know, authority figures and so forth. And the West does not have a patriarchy, okay? This is very clear. There are
the
some...
The Middle East has a patriarchy.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. That is a patriarchy. And interestingly enough, the Western feminists have no problem with...
The Mid-Eastern patriarchy.
Yes. So they don't critique it, and they actually will scold you severely if you talk about the hijab and anything like that. So it's a very weird thing. The reason why they... They keep it this way, like, so the patriarchy has no gender, so that they can paste it on anybody. Particularly what they like to do is people that are supposed to be in a victim class and don't behave properly for that victim class category, they go after those people with more vengeance than they do anyone. And that's the scariest thing. Like the president of the Heritage Foundation, African American woman, Kay Jones, I think it was her last name. But she was elected to be on the advisory board of Google, right? And because she is conservative, the Google, what I call them, the Red Guard within the Google woke force, as I put it in the book, they went mad. I mean, and they called her everything from transphobe and all that to a white supremacist. They went after her with more vehemence than they go after the oppressors. So this just shows me that they're not interested in serving the subordinated. And I'm not saying there aren't subordinated people in this world. What I'm saying is the left uses them. They're just props.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And historically speaking,
yeah,
do we wake up from this before it's too late?
Let's just say this. The waking up is going to be scary for a lot of people, and I think it's going to have to be, like, they're going to be woken up by knocks on the door, in effect, metaphorically, at night. You know, just like when they
start coming for them.
When the Cheka starts coming to your door and hauling you off to the gulag. Not effectively in the exact same way, but the more people that are going to be ripped down, called down, rip me too'd, whatever.
Right. The people that are right now being kicked off of Twitter, kicked off of YouTube, Facebook, everything else. They include people like you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they include people who are effective and from, formerly from their group.
Yeah.
When you wake up and come out and go, wait a minute, this is really dangerous. They stifle you. And at some point, I mean, the Niemöller poem is true. At first, they came for the trade unionist,
right.
And I wasn't a trade unionist, didn't care.
That's right, exactly.
Until they come for you.
You know, I wasn't even talking about my type. I'm talking about, like, African-Americans. Like, for example, Candace Owens, who doesn't behave properly according to the victim
Kanye
class.
West.
Yes. And, even Clarence Thomas. I mean, it just would not conform. And so they, he said, he went through an electronic lynching.
Yeah.
Now it's digital lynching. And digital disappearances, which is really what scares me.
Yeah, the depersonization.
Yes, depersoning or unpersoning.
Yeah, unpersoning.
Because once everybody is, and first of all, they've made the public sphere basically irrelevant or limited to the digital sphere. So there's nowhere to really get to anybody with any message outside of the digital sphere. Then they have complete control over it, and it's privatized. So there's no state sanctions of anything. There's no rights. And so they're just erasing any opinions that they don't like.
And what's crazy is so many people in Silicon Valley that I've talked to, they all talk about the end of the nation state. They want it.
Definitely.
Because of that,
yes.
There is no constitution. There are no laws. They make the laws, and they'll be able to shape society any way they want.
Yeah.
I'm a capitalist. I've never been, one that jumps on these, anti-capitalist, anti-corporate kind of bandwagons. But these corporations are truly becoming frightening.
Yeah.
Because they're telling us what they're going to do. I want to get into that with you when we come back. We're going to take a quick break and back with Michael Rechtenwald. He's got a new book out that is talking about the digital ghetto, if you will, the walls that are being built. And it's pretty frightening and pretty amazing and something that everybody should read. We'll get into that coming up in just a second.
Listening to Glenn Beck.
porch pirates may soon face felony charges in Texas. God bless Texas. Anybody who is stealing a package from somebody's front porch could face up to 10 years now, and Texans will have justice and law and order. Now, this law isn't everywhere yet. It's why I recommend SimplySafe.com. SimpliSafe offers your whole home protection around the clock, and it's easy to install. You own the system. When you move, it moves with you, and there's no pushy salesman trying to upsell you. SimpliSafe will cover every inch of your home. It's an army of sensors, a video doorbell that watches over your porch. When you get a delivery, you can unlock the door, let the person put it in. You have a HD camera there monitoring him inside the house, so you know he turns around. How dare me think that just a delivery man is just a man. That person, them, can go in and put that package in the front door, and you can then watch them leave and lock it again. But the entire thing, it's not just the door, it's your entire house. SimpliSafeBeck.com. Go there now, get a free HD camera. It's SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Get Glenn, Mark Levin, Stephen Crowder, and me, Pat Gray, all in one location. Use the promo code Glenn for $10 off at BlazeTV.com.
Okay. We're talking to Michael Rechtenwald. He is a former professor at NYU, a guy who knows the left because he was inside the left and is now using their language, exposing them to, and I think hopefully to many who are on the left, exposing and having them see, oh, crap, I'm on the wrong side.
Yeah.
Tell me the name of your book.
It's called Google Archipelago, and there's a subtitle, The Digital Gulag and the Simulation of Freedom.
There was another book,
yes,
similar in title, and when you, if you know what it is, it's a little breathtaking to use that title.
The Gulag Archipelago.
As opposed to Google.
That's correct.
Obviously intentional.
Yes.
You're going to get a lot of pushback.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. And you say that Google is doing the same thing that the Soviets were doing, just in a different way.
Yes. I mean, I say very clearly from the start that, listen, when I say Gulag and I'm comparing the Google to Gulag, I'm not saying that it's a prison camp that will have necessarily, you know, assassinations, forced labor, slavery, in effect, that's what it was, interesting, for a workers' paradise, and so on and so forth. I'm saying that as the Gulag was the, you know, the most articulated high-tech power structure and control mechanism in the world at the time, so Google Archipelago, as I call it, is the most widespread, powerful, and far more penetrating and far more extensive system of control and power.
We had dinner the other night with a group of people,
yes,
and China came up, and there was somebody at the table who just would not give that China is this horrible monster.
Yeah.
Because, hey, they're using the free market and they're pulling all these people up.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they're using the digital surveillance is truly terrifying.
Yeah.
Most people, he was a very smart individual.
Yes.
He didn't even really understand what was coming. And let's talk just a little bit about the silencing of voices and where that's headed.
Mm-hmm.
We're already seeing the silencing of voices. We're seeing credit card companies and banks starting to get involved and saying, this person, you can't do business with them anymore.
That's right.
When you have lost your status, so you cannot be heard, you can't access the mainstream conversation, you're being erased as if you've never existed. All of the stuff you've ever written or said or done or anything, gone.
Yeah.
And now you can't access financial services. Aren't you in a gulag?
This is a frightening prospect. I mean, you know, there's There's, of course, the surveillance. There's the tracking of everything you'll ever do. There is the, you know, there's going to be, basically everyone will have a digital signature. When you walk outside, my argument is that you'll be, we are going to be in the internet. This idea of going on the internet will be so quaint.
It's the internet
and anachronistic.
Things.
I mean, the internet is going to be everywhere. It's cyberspace everywhere, effectively. Mm-hmm. So everywhere you go, you're going to be a piece of data that is tracked. And every move you make will be known. They'll have in China, they have this. They have digital fences for people whose social credit score mm-hmm. is not high enough to leave the city, for example, mm-hmm. or even, say, the neighborhood.
Or go grocery shopping.
Yes. So what they do is there's an immediate alert sent to the proper right. authorities, and they pick them off the street.
Right.
You know, so China is exporting their AI already.
Mm-hmm.
The city of,
they're trying to get all of the countries to buy into it.
The first place that bought into it, interestingly, is a town called Darwin, Australia. Mm. They bought into the smart city idea. They said they were more concerned for their safety, that safety was such a concern to them that I guess they were willing to forfeit liberty entirely. And that's pretty curious. We have some people in our country, you know, in our history that our tradition yeah. have talked about that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Franklin said you will lose both and deserve neither.
That's right.
So bring it to Google
yeah.
and show how Google is doing this.
Yeah. First of all, I want to say that Google is just an emblem, right? So
yes.
that's why I call it the Google Archipelago. It's
the whole chain of islands.
Yes, that's right. There's big digital, and it consists of all of these gargantuan digital.
People don't talk about Amazon
right. They're part
this
of
way,
it.
But they are part of it.
They're part of it.
Yeah.
It's harder to work them in, but they're doing things that are very similar. You know, if you don't do business like they want, if you don't
Correct.
Practice this, that, and the other thing, you're
correct. But they also, I mean, they are going to be. In their own words, a delivery company more than a sales
yeah,
company.
Right.
They're going to just deliver it before you buy it.
That's right.
Which means they have to have so much information on you that they can predict you 95% of the time.
They're going to use algorithms to sell immediately to people products they haven't decided to buy yet, but the algorithms have said they will buy.
Right.
And they'll send it to your house. And
which leads you to the question, where is the tail and where is the head?
Mm-hmm.
Because with Google and all these algorithms,
yeah.
they're going to be marketing to you. They're going to know you so well, mm-hmm. they're going to be marketing to you.
Oh, yeah.
And before you know it, you want that product that's just arrived at
mm-hmm.
your door.
Yeah.
But do you really want it? Or have you been shaped to want that?
Yes. There's a big question of whether you've been led down an algorithmic trail mm-hmm. over time through particular processes of presenting this, that, and the other thing to you and excluding many other things, of course. And a lot of the things, of course, that are excluded are alternative ideas to theirs.
Sure.
I mean, let's not forget, they have an explicit political agenda. They're not some neutral or collector and distributor of information. They have this agenda to make the world better, improve the world, whatever, in their sense, which is, you know, based on, again, the social justice creed all the way down the line. And so this is the steering they're doing. They're steering you through algorithms. And so there's going to be the idea of whether there's going to be a question about free will very shortly.
Oh, yeah, very shortly.
Whether it exists, because if you're being algorithmically led and steered and all your choices can be predicted in advance by these algorithmic mm-hmm. patterns, mm-hmm. then this causes a philosophical problem, but also the question of, like, who's running me here?
Correct.
Yeah.
And for anybody who's listened to me for a long time, I used to talk about Cass Sunstein and, you know, his work on Nudge. And it's always bothered me that political people were using Nudge, that we were being nudged as a society mm-hmm. but just by putting the French fries in the back and the apples in the front. Well, this is a much more sophisticated
yeah.
nudge to where you won't be able to find it. I mean, try to find some information. If you can't find it after a couple of searches on Google, you just think it doesn't exist.
That's right. It's buried. They have blacklists for everything. Now, I want to say one thing to qualify where I'm coming from. I'm not a Luddite. I'm not a technophobe. I worked for 5 years in an AI lab as a writer in the Robotics Institute at Carnegie Mellon while I was writing my dissertation simultaneously. So, like, I know where this is. Where this all came from. I studied it. I was at, you know, the Newell Simon. And,
I love this. The technology that is coming our way is going to either enslave us unlike any time before.
That's right.
Or it's going to free us unlike anything anyone's ever imagined.
And, you know, I say this is this these dystopian possibilities are just that. I'm not saying this is inevitable. If I thought it was inevitable, I wouldn't write the book.
But Michael, it is becoming more and more inevitable because it's moving so fast.
Yeah.
And unless people wake up right now and educate themselves on what is really happening, we're just going to accept it one thing after another because it's going, it's 1984 is happening in China. We're Brave New World. It's being wrapped up in things that we like.
That's right. Toronto has already bought into the Sidewalk project of Alphabet, Google's partner. Sidewalk is like the smart cities of China. It tracks every. It says that, in fact, they'll not only know what kind of porch furniture you have, how long it takes you to cross the street, what exactly your habits and every move you make, and they're buying it. Because they think it's wonderful that there's so much knowledge to be had. But when the knowledge is about, like, intimate details of people's lives and that it's contained in the cloud in this very centralized place, which is, like, owned by a private organization, and they're also they're changing the laws of Toronto to do this.
I have to tell you, I don't know why we haven't passed a law already saying my private individual information about me belongs to me.
It's not going to be possible. That law is not can't happen. We're already carrying along a digital package that's basically our history. They're going to have we'll have a signature, which I think will be maybe part genetic and maybe part digital. That will also be attached to an informational package that effectively is every move you've ever made. And then, of course, we'll have predictive algorithms connected to it.
We're getting to the precog crimes of
that Minority Report.
Yeah, Minority Report.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they're going to be saying, this person is 99.9% likely to do this now or soon. And so what are they going to do? They're going to have a rationale for picking them up.
Unbelievable. Michael, thank you so much. Michael's going to be joining me for another podcast. If you want to see the podcast he's already been on, it is really, truly fascinating. It's his whole story about trying to get out of the matrix, if you will. And you can listen to it wherever you get your podcast. Just look for the Glenn Beck podcast and Michael Reckenwald. Mike, when does your book come out again?
It'll be out in mid-August. So, you know, but pre-order now. It's going to be out soon.
It's really an important book and really, really, you're a great writer. Really, well written. And you can find that at Amazon. Michael Reckenwald, thank you so much.
Thank you, Glenn.
Back in just a second, our sponsor this half hour is Blinds.com. Here we are in the middle of summer. Things are heating up. I have to tell you, people are complaining here in New York. It's so hot. Really, come to Texas. We'll show you hot. Oh, my gosh. The problem with New York is the stench, and the blinds can't do anything about the stench, but they can help keep your house cooler on the inside. Blinds.com, incredible site-wide savings that are happening right now at Blinds.com that will help your home stay cool. It also helps your home stay warm in the winter, and it's the easiest, cheapest thing you can do to upgrade the look of your home. Head there right now. You're going to get great site-wide savings, plus You'll save an extra $20 with promo code Beck. As always, every step of the way, the design consultants are there. If you want them, it's free. Every order gets free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee. It's blinds.com, promo code Beck. Again, blinds.com, promo code Beck. Pat, what'd you think of Michael Rechtenwald?
He's interesting, like always, and really ballsy.
Yeah.
He says things that nobody else will. Other than maybe you, and
well, people don't like to say that stuff. Attention to the things, yeah. You want to meet Ballsy, the guest next hour? Mm-hmm. He just infiltrated the Muslim Brotherhood, and he's a Jew.
Wow.
I mean, courage is contagious, and we're going to share his story coming up in just a second. Have you seen that the digital erasing of the history now of Bill Clinton and the plane with Epstein?
Oh, they're definitely worried, aren't they?
Erased.
Oh, are they scared?
Oh, my gosh. Wikipedia has already changed everything. They've taken Bill Clinton's trips out. He had 27 trips. He has only said he took 4. But, you know, we have the flight logs. Mm. You have to file the manifest. So they have the flight manifest as part of record. They also now have the pilot's manifest, where there's some real trouble because he said, my Secret Service was always with me. We now know, because of federal documents, which flights he took and which ones he didn't have Secret Service with. And on those flights, the pilots, in their own logbook, kept a log of everybody that was on. And every time Bill Clinton was on without Secret Service, there were underage girls on the plane.
Oh, my. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oopsie daisies.
Yeah. Yeah. This very well might be payback for the Trump lies. But we'll see, because there's also some speculation that these guys are never going to pay for their crimes because they are so well connected. We'll see. This is the closest I think the Clintons have ever come to having to face justice for the things that they have done. This is the closest.
This might be the one taboo that still remains, that you can't have sex with underage girls. You can't do that. I mean, I think as a society and a civilization, we can still agree on that, right? I hope we can.
I don't know. If you're Clinton, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
We'll see.
If you're really, really well connected and you have others, Alec Baldwin, involved in these things, how many people are going to be taken down by this? And I mean, this will shoot right into the heart of the Democratic establishment.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to be real damaging. We'll see how strong justice is compared to politics.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.